and the Red Cross girls cried as the men marched to the 20 trains waiting to take them off to war. Once aboard and somewhat settled down, the betting began over which way the trains would head. North toward New York, and then Europe or the Mediterranean, or west toward California and then the Pacific. The trains headed north, toward Camp Shanks, 30 miles up the Hudson River from New York City. Promises were made about passes into the city, promises that were not kept. Instead, it was more inspections followed by inoculations. Shot followed shot, Christensen remembered, until our arms hung from our bodies like limp ropes. Officers and non-coms got to know the Preparation for Overseas Movement manual by heart. Sobel wrote up a form letter to send to the mothers of his troopers. "Dear Madam," it began, "soon your son, Private First Class Paul C. Rogers," each name was typed in, "will drop from the sky to engage and defeat the enemy. He will have the best of weapons and equipment, and have had months of hard and strenuous training to prepare him for success on the battlefield. Your frequent letters of love and encouragement will arm him with a fighting heart. With that he cannot fail, but will win glory for himself, make you proud of him, and his country ever grateful for his service in its hour of need." He signed each letter with a flourish, "Herbert M. Sobel, Captain Commanding." The enlisted men got hold of some whiskey. They were accustomed to beer, so the whiskey hit them hard. Christensen got so drunk he was making out with the toilet, a condition common to young men who have just been introduced to whiskey. Corporal Randleman found him and gently carried him to bed. The next morning, the air filled with the moans and groans of the hungover men, the company marched down to the docks. A ferry carried the men to a pier, where hot coffee and donuts from the Red Cross girls helped revive the near dead. There was a great deal of cursing, partly because the men had hoped to march through New York City on their way to war and did not, also because they were not allowed to wear their jump boots. The reason? Enemy spies might see them and would know that an airborne division was shipping out. They had to take the patch of the 101st, the Screaming Eagle, off their shoulders. Winters remembered only one case of gangplank fever. A medical officer was just smart enough to know what to take to be assigned to sick call and miss the voyage.